For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the Chairshot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
And welcome everyone to a special, special, special edition of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. And special means that we were recording late because I screwed up the recording Thursday night. And DJ is on assignment. And so from the Cloud Nine and Purple Haze, Bucky's tag team partner here is with us. Jason, how are you, my man?
I'm doing well. You're doing great, sweetie. Just wanted you to know that. You're doing an amazing job. Yeah, and I'm just going to introduce you. You know, he is the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, a man who is Ray Cash's daddy. He is the man with the golden shovel, and he is a close personal friend of mine, Rob the Genius, host of the Rob the Genius Podcast. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing good for a Friday. And we have a special third man in the booth. Our man, Jay, close personal friend of King Kong, who is going crazy right now because it is conference tournament weekend, which means Kong has parlays and exactas and trifectas going on all over the place. Okay. you know, cause for those of y'all who know, if you know me and Jay from Twitter, we are the proxies for King Kong and Godzilla. And so we couldn't have him on here without me giving him a hard time about his favorite gorilla and his degenerate gambling habit.
Oh my God.
Jay, welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to the show. Yes, I am a close and personal friend of King Kong. Me and Rob have had this feud for a long time. We've basically finished our feud faster than, Fraxium has broken up. So, you know, we're still going at it, but, looking forward to the show.
Cool, man. Awesome. All right. So, Rob, what were we going to talk about first, my friend?
Okay, so first, we're going to do a very quick run-through of AEW Revolution because you and I watched it, Jay did not. So we're going to do a really quick run-through so Jay is not sitting here just staring at us for 45 minutes.
And I even have an annotated card here, and I will take the wheel right away because this is a show without DJ. We are the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We're going to just jump right into things because DJ is not here to keep us in control. So we're not going to spend too much time on the pre-show because Rob didn't even watch it, and there's not much to talk about. However, I will do the two highlights. Commander and Hologram versus the other two Luchador dudes. It was actually, Lee Johnson and Blake Christian. The match was fine. It was a standard Luchador tag match fair. It was fun. But the highlight of the match was Harley Graham. And that, of course, was Harley Cameron accompanying Hologram to the ring. And she was also in full Luchador Hologram get up. And she was behaving exactly like a 90s valet in all the best ways and like all the cheesy ways. Like the bull luchador on the other team was like constantly like oogling her and she was, you know, shaking her hips at him and blowing kisses and stuff. It was just awesome and continues to prove that Harley Cameron can do basically whatever she puts her mind to in wrestling, it seems. Cause she's getting better at the whole wrestling thing and Lord knows she can do everything else. So that's my two cents on that. And then also, AJ Big Boom and the conglomeration, took on our friends, Maximum Male Models and, Johnny TV, which was, look, if you can't appreciate, the Costco guys, and with the Rizzler and Big Justice sitting ringside and, you know, Orange Cassidy in the ring with this AJ guy and they're doing the whole thing. Like, if you can't watch that cartoon and enjoy yourself for 1 minute, you and I watch wrestling a completely different way. So going forward, we're going to fire through the card very quickly. Hangman Adam Page defeated MJF. I don't care about their feud. It's the eternal headlock that nobody cares about, man. Rob, did you have anything there?
I got nothing. Just don't pile drive people in the chair if it's not going to be a finish.
Yeah, that was dumb. The finish, like, that should have been the finish, or, I don't know. That was but them overdoing it. So anyway, and also Rob had one thought on the next match. Mercedes Moné versus Momo Mercedes Moné. It was for the AEW TBS Championship. Mercedes Moné shockingly retained against Momo. Rob, did you have anything here?
It was fine. And it just seems like with Mercedes, there's a list of matches she wants to do and there's a list of matches they want her to do. And this time it was her list. And I think because Momo was just somebody she wanted to wrestle. And that's how it kind of felt, right? Because there wasn't a lot of big build up to it. And, you know, just, you know, a few weeks earlier, they had a huge, very entertaining build up between her and Harley Cameron. And it's just, things are a lot better with her when they can, you know, like I said, stories and, you know, building matches matters. And, so I hope that whoever she, you know, takes on next, and actually she looks like she's going to be running into Billy Starks next. And they've already got some things going. And my hope is that since, you know, we know who Billy Starks is associated with. She is associated with Athena, and it'd be really great if this led to Athena finally getting back on AEW television and her and Mercedes having a match together.
Shout out to friend of the podcast by proxy, Billy Starks. Let's see here. Next up, we're going to spend some time here. Swerve Strickland took on Ricochet for the AEW World Championship. Swerve Strickland retained his AEW World Championship. Wow, that match was so much freaking fun.
That wasn't for any titles.
Number one contender. I'm sorry. Why do I have a C next to it? I don't know. My notes are weird. Sorry. But anyway, it was the number one contender. And, so then Swerve is going, Swerve won. So he'll take on the AEW champion. Later on at Dynasty, which Rob and I are going to. So that's going to be a lot of fun. This match was incredible, and it was a very, very fun end to that story. Some quick highlights. Ricochet being able to play a character is, like, so much fun, and really letting him lean into this dweeb of a heel character, and he is playing a dweeb character on purpose, guys. Like, say what you will about the guy, it's haha, but he's playing this character to a T. And having him opposite the ring of Swerve was incredible, because of how their characters played off each other. And holy Moses, I thought the second to last house call that Swerve hit, I thought was like the best house call I'd seen of the night until I saw that last one. And that was one of the best ones I've seen in a long time. Cause holy crap, you saw it, you felt it, Ricochet sold it like a gunshot, and that was an incredible end to that match. Rob, what did you have there?
Oh yeah, it was an excellent match, and yeah, I love the closing sequence. And again, you know, you gotta give credit when people, you know, we say bet on themselves. Ricochet wanted to do some character stuff that he wasn't getting to do. And so he got the opportunity to go do that. And so far, look, so far so good. And so, you know, look, we got to give people credit when they, you know, bet on themselves. And because this is much preferable for them to go do that. And if there's an opportunity elsewhere, then to be the guy complaining on Twitter about their booking and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's true. Jay, any fast thoughts though so far about anything we've talked about?
It sounds like it was a solid show. To kind of piggyback off the Ricochet stuff, I am happy that he's at another in another promotion, getting to creatively, you know, do his thing and kind of find something for himself. I mean, the WWE is so stacked with their storylines and different characters, you know, Ricochet going to AEW and getting to go over there and just kind of spread his wings a little bit, you know, it's a good thing. So I'm happy to hear about that.
I think the thing that surprised me the most is that he's, I mean, maybe that we'll get there, I'm sure, but he's not gone for broke every single match yet, or if he ever will. Like, I was worried that Ricochet rolls into AEW, he's going to be doing 450s off everything and all that stuff. No, he's just kind of found that lane where he's like, okay, the shackles, quote unquote, haha, whatever. The shackles are off, and he's just comfortably in fifth gear the whole time. And he's just living there. And it's been really cool to see his, both the style with his character and within the ring. So, yeah, Ricochet's doing great. So next up we had the Hurt Syndicate, took on the Outrunners. This is why we watch professional wrestling, right guys? The gangsters and the boardroom, like white collar executive enforcer gangster guys versus the 80s, you know, can't give it up. You know, pro wrestling is pro wrestling. You know, they love fluorescent, and it was just a beautiful synergy of two styles, and I had a ton of fun. Rob, did you have anything about the Hurt Syndicate?
Shout out to Bobby and MVP for making this thing work across three different companies now, because yeah. They were the Beatdown Clan in TNA and the Hurt Business in WWE. Now they're the Hurt Syndicate, and I'm guessing we'll know soon enough in a few weeks whether or not Cedric will be joining them here.
Hey, man. That would be fun, honestly. Yeah. Just go. I think we called that as soon as, you know, unfortunately, things did not turn out well for him. But I think his luck is going to turn once 90 days are up. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on to the match that the only match on the card and that I put notes on that I have two check marks next to, because boy howdy are we going to talk about this. Timeless Toni Storm took on Mariah May to defend her AEW Women's World Championship. She was successful in that defense, and top to bottom, the Timeless Toni Storm thing continues to be like one of the best things in wrestling right now. And they hit this note just perfectly with Mariah. I think it was the right time to, you know, she came back, she won the title back, she's going to retain, she's putting Mariah in the rearview mirror, it seems anyway. And it just, my God, it was so corny and operatic and just dramatic and ridiculous. And it was the most perfectly professional wrestling thing ever. 7 stars, eight in the Tokyo Dome. Rob?
So look, this was, if we're talking about just all aspects of a wrestling storyline, you know, matches, promos, vignettes, angles, you know, everything. Look, this is probably the best women's storyline start to finish that I've seen, period. I mean, now I'd pick some different women's feuds as far as, you know, some of the matches and all of that. But if we're just talking all the character work and everything from start to finish, I think this is it. This is the best women's storyline I've seen, period. And they ended it perfectly.
And I wouldn't fight you on that at all. And Rob, you are right. The the vignettes. It shouldn't go unsaid because, frankly, WWE gets credit for this all the time. They have for years of how good their video packages are, or how good their vignettes are. And they are, to be fair. Like, they are all excellent. They get your blood thumping. They get, you know, they do the whole nine. That video package before Tony and Mariah was one of the best video packages, like, ever. Like, that was so well done, from the music to the way they blended the shots together and put Wolves' story. It was incredible. So hats off to, like, everybody, not just Tony and Mariah, like, everybody involved in this thing. Luther, shout out Luther.
Yeah. Come on. And then also, like, when the match was over, they put up on the Titantron the end, like, it was a big movie. And, you know.
That's amazing. That was just a perfect way to end it. So,
yeah.
And then, so next up, we got some wrestling, Bubba. You know, and to that, I mean, oh my goodness, we got two guys beating the crap out of each other. Kenny Omega and Takeshita were fighting for the, the International Championship.
Yeah.
And so Takeshita was defending his title. They beat the ever-loving crap out of each other. We're continuing the Kenny Omega versus Don Callis story, and as they should. And now Kenny Omega is your international champion. And we have already heard rumors that they are going to merge these titles, the Continental title and the International title. I assume they'll make an Intercontinental title. Honestly, if that's what they actually do, I can't even be mad at it. I really can't.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they had an Intercontinental title in New Japan, so it wouldn't be like, it wouldn't be totally ripping off, you know. But, I mean, I think if that rumor is true, then, I mean, they're dropping all the breadcrumbs, because Okada is the Continental champion and Kenny presented him the Continental belt last November. And of course, everybody knows what that means, you know, and now Kenny's the International champion. Okada's the Continental champion. And so, and you know, they want to do the match. I mean, everything's lining up for them to do that match and to have it be to unify those two titles. It makes sense. So.
And you know who wants to do it? Tony. He's like, yeah, I want to do one of these. I want them to make me money. So, and I'm not mad at it. I mean, you know, both those guys are not towards it. Who knows with Kenny and who knows with Okada, frankly, but I'm pretty sure they're more towards the end than they are the beginning. So why not? Like, do it again in AEW, add a fresh layer of paint to that incredible rivalry. Go for it.
And Okada is doing his Randy Orton thing now. working smarter and not harder. So
that's the way you should do it, you know? Work smarter, not harder, you know? You got to pick your spots. And for the Okada Omega match, I do hope it happens. Why not do it in AEW? So,
you know, no, I agree. Yeah, man. That's awesome. So next up, we'll move on to Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher had their blow off match in a steel cage. Will Ospreay was the winner. I had fun. You know, it was exactly the kind of type of match we kind of expected from these guys in a cage, from, you know, Will Ospreay and Ospreay Jr. So it was, but, you know, credit to credit to Fletcher, because I feel like since he's gone this new crazy, you know, shaved his head and done the whole thing character, he really has kind of leaned into that. And I make the Ospreay Jr. joke, he successfully is divorcing himself from that image. So if he continues, more power to him. Rob?
Yeah, what I'm saying about Will kind of applies here. Like, you know, they did some stuff where I was like, okay, y'all doing too much, but Will does it so well that, you know, a lot of times you just say, okay, man, you got it. And, you know, and look, they did a Spanish fly on the top of the cage. I mean, you know, I mean, so on the one hand, it's like, yeah, but of course that wasn't the finish.
No, I wouldn't.
But still, I mean, the fact that they did it, I mean, you still got to just say, okay, wow, that's some wild shit, man.
That's crazy, man. A Spanish fly off the damn cage? Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was amazing. So last up, we... Oh my God. We had the main event of the evening.
Oh, no. This was bad.
John Moxley was defending his title against Cope. Fucking Cope. I can't believe we're actually calling that young man Cope.
Can I chime in real quick about the Cope?
Yes.
Why are they calling another grown man Cope? Like, listen, just find another word for Edge or something. I don't know. Call him Corner. Call him, you know, something else. I don't know. Like, Cope? What are we doing? Just call him Adam.
Hey, get Undisputed Era, buddy. Your name is now Cole. You're just Cole because he's going to be Adam. Like, if that was the sticking point and if one of them had to be Cope or Cole, you picked the wrong one.
You know what they should have done? They should have just added the. Just call him The Edge. How about that? The Edge.
There you go. Well, then no. You two would have sued you to oblivion.
He'd be getting sued by somebody else.
He'd be getting sued by one of the most litigious men in the movie, in the industry. Come on, man.
I guess.
And they also have Hangman Adam Page, so they have a real Adam problem going on. Yeah.
Crazy, man. And he can't go with his original name. What was it, Sexton Hardcastle? That was his original name? Dumbass name.
Honestly, if he had just shown up at AEW at Sexton Hardcastle, and they just didn't, like, obviously they're too, you know, up their own ass to, like, not say anything about it, but if they actually did that and they played it straight, that would have been one of the greatest bits of the history of professional wrestling. Like, those assholes are absolutely incapable of playing that one straight, but regardless. But, so, it was a straight-up match, right? For the AEW Championship. And we all called it. We're like, okay, they get out of this one. But, you know, Cage is probably going to cash in. And that's how, you know, either Adam or Christian Cage is going to win. Or who knows? But no. They took the dumbest and most frustrating. And, yes, I understand. Thank you, you in the back in the audience. You're supposed to feel that way. I know. But Christian Cage came out, cashed in his contract in the middle of the match. So it became from a two-way match to a three-way match. It is now Cage versus Cope versus Mox. And Mox immediately choked Cage out and ended the match to retain his title. And it is still in the briefcase, and as we all know, it's super cool for a wrestling federation to not see your title for months and months and months and months on TV. That is, like, one of the coolest things you can definitely do as a wrestling promotion. Rob, what are we doing here, man?
Okay, so originally I was, you know, the match itself, I didn't think the match itself was as bad as some people were saying. I described it as, like, the main event on, like, a double taping of Raw when, you know, it was just when the guys were tired, but they were still trying, you know, it's kind of like that. I mean, so it wasn't horrible, but it was okay. And then they did the finish and in fact, it was too long also. It was 26 minutes. That was too damn long. And it followed a cage match where the guy did the Spanish fly off the top of the cage and, you know, you're following that and you're going to do a 26 minute kind of match where the guys are moving not too fast. Okay. And so then I thought maybe Cope would win. I've been fine with that. And then when Christian came out there, I was like, okay, let's do this. And because the whole point of Christian having the thing was to basically, well, for him to get the belt and no one expected him to have it long. I don't think people were expecting it to be like when The Miz did it last time. He had it for a couple of days, which is fine. But no, he comes in there and he hit Cope with a couple of things and then he got choked out. And then when that happened, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Jay, this was this wasn't quite Fiend in the Cell bad as far as the finish. It wasn't quite there.
Because there was a
finish. It's in the neighborhood.
I enjoyed myself with that match, you know.
Bob, credit to them, though. There was a finish. Someone got choked out unequivocally. It's over. Yeah. This wasn't just a ref calling for the bell or whatever, but man, yeah, it's like the next rung down for me for the Fiend stuff. And almost, actually, they're almost on an even keel, because at least I got to watch the Fiend walk to the ring and do Fiend shit, you know, for a little while before it got all goofy.
The payoff with the Fiend Seth was Seth sitting in the corner, scared like a Friday the 13th movie. You know, he was screaming, and, you know, as it rolled to the credits, that was the finish. But sounds like this was like disappointing. It
proves the point that Seth Rollins is a coward. But this finish, dude, like, I understand. And it is the whole snake chasing its tail thing, that you are supposed to feel this way, that, like, wow, Mox got away. But we're, you know, smart wrestling fans, and we're smarks, so we're like, no, you burned the contract. You know, you burned an all-time moment. So it's tough. Because on the one hand, I do see it. I legitimately do see, like, okay, that is pretty funny to pull the rug out like that. On the other hand, it's like, eh. I don't know. So it is really tough to truly call it, like, awful. But I don't know. Are we getting worked, Rob? Tell me. Are we being worked?
No, I just think it was bad. Sometimes it just stinks, okay? the silver lining was that, you know.
I'd feel better if Mox's shit was going anywhere. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, but so hopefully Swerve puts it into this next month.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Hopefully. Oh, I mean, that's all we can hope for. I mean, because, you know.
So. Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of AEW Revolution. Next up, we have AEW Dynasty coming from you from the well. Is it Wells Fargo?
No, it's
Oh, no. We're somewhere else. But anyway, Rob and I have tickets, so we could probably look at our tickets to find out where we're going in April. Yeah. But we will have live boots on the ground coverage. And I heard Jay's going to buy a ticket and jump in my car with me. So, Rob, what else do we have for the fine people aside from telling them all about our wonderful offerings at Pro Wrestling Tees and such?
Well, since we have Jay here, you know, we've definitely had, before we talk about Roadblock, there have been some, you know, other events to catch up on. So what are your thoughts, like, with the Royal Rumble stuff and the Elimination Chamber stuff?
So yeah, overall. Say it again.
Sorry, Jay, did you watch the Royal Rumble live?
I did watch it live, yes. Yep.
Okay. Well, yeah, first off, your reaction to the turn.
Listen, man, I mean, for the folks that are the pals that follow me on Twitter, you know, I watch this stuff like a nana, so I'm always excited for everything. Overall, I thought the Rumble was a great success. Jay Uso winning was the right call. I thought that final stretch, it reminded me of 2007 with Taker and HBK when they had that tense, like, almost 30-minute showdown. I don't know if you guys watched that back then, but it had that same type of feeling where it was like you didn't know who was going to win, and then when Jey Uso ended up pushing Cena out, it was like, holy crap, like, that was incredible. So, but I thought that was great. Moving into the chamber with Cena winning and then that crazy turn, that was like that's a pivotal moment for WWE, seeing that happen. I mean, John Cena hasn't been a heel since, what, I would say 2003. And speaking of Boston, I was at that Rumble in 03 when he came out talking trash to the crowd as he walked to the ring before getting beaten up in the Rumble. So, you know, to see him turn and potentially face various amounts of different wrestlers, including Randy Orton, maybe at Backlash, which is being talked about now, I think that's incredible. I do think we're going to see him turn babyface towards the end. So to see that entire journey play out, you know, in this final year for him, I think that's remarkable. It's well worth it. I think Cody's the perfect person to kind of go up against them, and, you know, his whole I'm the captain now stuff on SmackDown, I thought that was hilarious. So I'm really looking forward to him and to Cody and Cena at WrestleMania. I think that's going to be a really good match. And I've been calling Dwayne Johnson Dwayne Shung for Mortal Kombat because, you know, he's talking about taking people's souls and stuff like that, which is hilarious. I think Rock is the drunk uncle right now. He's just out there rambling and, you know, they're just letting him go or whatever. But I actually like the story. It's kind of – it's weird. It's bizarre, but it kind of works for – The Rock. He's delusional, you know, over the top, egomaniacal, you know, he's on a power trip and he's trying to use everybody and corrupt everybody. And I think he's corrupted one of the biggest baby faces in John Cena. I think that's why it's working. So I'm really liking it.
Well, very astute. Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
And so yeah, because it looks like they've announced him for Backlash, Cena, and it's in Randy Orton's hometown, so it seems like a no-brainer that that's what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And it's also one of the, you know, matches, if you're doing a Cena farewell tour, a Randy Orton match has got to be on the checklist.
Oh, yeah.
Especially this Randy Orton. I mean, he's just, you know, resurrected himself for his and his career and his physique for and his, you know, wrestling style and all that stuff for, what, the third time? It's incredible. Rob, what else do we have aside from the Cena heel turn? Did you want to get right into Roadblock?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. We talked about the Royal Rumble. I do have to have your thoughts on the return of the 14-time women's champion.
Charlotte Flair. Listen, Rob, I'm in the same boat. I love Charlotte. People hate on Charlotte Flair. It this gimmick of like, oh, she's not, you know, I listen to different podcasts, you know, and I'll hear this like, she's not doing enough. She's not contributing. Listen, you know, it's a dance. Tiffany's got to bring it to the table. You know what I'm saying? Charlotte's a main eventer. So she's not going to hold your hand, to be ready for this Mania program. You got to be willing to dance. You got to be ready to go. So I think hopefully creative gets a lot better. I want to see more promos. I want to see more engagement, more, maybe some more I hate your face type of anger between those two. I think the match is going to be great though. As far as like who could win, I could see Tiffany win it. I could see it going both ways. Charlotte could win it and, you know, I don't have a problem with that either, but to see Charlotte return, come back from the injury, she's an incredible athlete. I think people need to lay off her and just let her do her thing. I think people just, they overdo it. I'm going to say it now. They breathe heavy about her, and it's just dumb. It's whack. So,
thank you, sir.
No problem.
So I guess now we go on the Roadblock. That was the NXT show that was on Tuesday. It was at the theater at Madison Square Garden, which used to be called the Felt Forum. And when I was a little boy, my parents took me and my sister and my brother to the Felt Forum to see the Ice Capades.
Nice.
Yeah.
Classic, the Ice Capades. Beautiful. Yes.
That's a New York staple. If you live in New York City for any length of time, you got to go see the Ice Capades at some point.
Classic. Yeah. All right. First up, I'm just going to get us started with the card. We had the Hardy Boys defending their TNA World Tag Team Championships against Fraxium. So Nathan Frazier and Axiom. They had a great match. Matt and Jeff are doing exactly what they should have done, and they just got in there from as soon as the music hit to when they walked behind the curtain again, they were just playing the hits. And you know what? That's exactly what we're here for. They threw a little bit of the delete and the, you know, broken stuff in there for fun. So it was awesome. And Rob, I have a question. When is Fraxium going to break up?
You know, when that Detox album come out from Dr. Dre? when is that?
just kind of like pulled the plug, and I don't even mean like let's wait. They were just like, you know what? Forget it.
I think that's what's happening, really. I think they were going to do it, and then they just, for whatever reason, they didn't, and then things clicked so well with them as just working as a team, and it seems to me like they just kind of put it on the shelf, you know, and we're not worrying about it, which is fine with me because I'm not really interested in watching those two guys feud with each other, to be honest. You know?
Yeah, the blow off was always kind of going to be meh, aside from the initial like breakup. So that, but, and, I had one thought that maybe it, because for a long time they did a month or two of like they would really bumble and one of them would mess something up in a match and they would barely win or one would do something stupid to get the other one into a match when they, you know, were trying to balance the Heritage Cup and the tag team titles. And then all of a sudden they stopped doing that, but they never quite lost like the little brother, big brother kind of vibe that they have when they're a tag team and when they're like in the ring. So I think they just kind of, like Rob said, I think they've just hit a sweet spot and they're like, you know what? Let's just let these guys cook where they're at. Cause they haven't done any real hints of like one of them has screwed something up a big time in a while. So Jay, what do you think about Fraxium and, you know, the Hardy Boys and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So I thought the match was really solid. You know, the Hardys are obviously older, so they're not what they used to be, but for what they bring to the table, veteran experience and, you know, with the crowd connecting, I thought they did a great job. Jeff Hardy, that dude really could do no wrong. Matt's moving a lot different. He's moving crazy. Jeff the same way, but I think they're at some point they're going to be in the WWE again full time and probably get that Hall of Fame nod. I think they're just finishing up with TNA. With Fraxium, you know, I agree. I don't think they should break up. I think what they probably do need is a rough patch. They need maybe like a monster team to kind of get their number and to kind of create like a little rivalry there. They probably don't need to be winning all the time. I think they've won, you know, enough, you know, to the point where the fans kind of expect them to win. So why not kind of switch it up and have them face a team that, you know, gets their number and that way they can kind of climb back, you know. They don't even need the titles. They could just face like, a adversity. You just sometimes you need that for tag teams. You need that team to kind of just be like, oh, like, can they overcome this team? And that can be their, you know, something where they have to figure it out. Or in another case, you know, since the whole math thing, you know, why not bring in Scott Steiner? He could, you know, if they have a problem with like, you know, chemistry or equations, you could bring in Steiner and maybe do a segment with Steiner math and then have them kind of figure out, you know, oh, this is the missing equation. I don't know. But definitely they need to probably just, you know, face another team that can just have their number and just go maybe, you know, just exchange wins and losses and just have a feud like that. So.
Cool. I like that idea. And I also like your idea of them like losing the titles or having to climb back or facing some monster team, because that would be a fun refresh of their characters. Like they've done the working together thing before, and I feel like that's a well, like you could go back to where it's like, hey, they're training together this time, or they're not even training together. They just get their shit together and they kind of put the little brother, big brother stuff aside. And then suddenly, it would change their entire layout if they were a synergistic tag team the entire time during a match. And that would be a cool thing to see. So anyway, moving on to the next match of the evening, we had a straight up singles match. We had Jordynne Grace defeating Roxanne Perez, saying, thank you, little girl. Goodbye. We do not want to see you again. Off with you to the main roster. Go chase your dreams. Second star to the right, Roxy. Rob, what did you think about this?
Yeah, I thought it was a good match, and it was a good kind of closing chapter for Roxanne and NXT. And yes, she should not be back on Tuesday, and unless she's, you know, next year when she's coming back as, you know, the way that somebody who used to be there would come back, right? It's time for her to now. She needs to just be doing main roster stuff now, because there's no one else for her to put over. It'd be pointless to ever stay down there any longer at this point, especially since she's already had some matches on Raw. Just move her up there permanently and, you know, keep the train rolling.
Excellent. Jay?
Yeah, so I thought this match was incredible. Jordynne Grace, she fits in great with NXT. I think she's going to be a major star for that company. As far as Roxanne goes, I agree with you, Rob. She's done everything down there, all the side quests, all the main quests. She's got all the Xbox achievements. You know, let her go up to the main roster. Let her feud with Bayley. I think that's the obvious feud that people want to see, and hopefully that translates into a Mania match, because I think they have a lot of chemistry. They've been setting up that storyline very well, so I think they've been just kind of holding off on doing consecutive segments and promos on the main shows with those two until, you know, until it's time, because we have plenty of time. So, but incredible match. But Roxanne, she's done. Like, let her go up to the main roster and rock. She's more than ready. So she's going to be like a multiple time world champion on both brands. That's my prediction for her.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. Cause she's what, like 6 years old. So yeah, she's got a long career. No, seriously. She's like 20. Is she 21?
Oh, she's like 21, 22, something like that.
Crazy. Yeah.
She's got a long career ahead of her, brother.
And I was just thinking, I had the pleasure back in 2021. I had the pleasure of seeing her and Willow Nightingale at Final Battle of Ring of Honor. Awesome. And just to see how far both of them have come since then is pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So next up, brought to you by Big E, we had the Meaty Men Slap and Meat Match. Obafemi defended his NXT World Heavyweight Championship against Moose, guest from TNA. And this is how, you know, this is perfect. With Moose, whatever, the his character, you know, non-fictional character aside, a perfectly fine big man wrestler, probably a great big man wrestler, and gave Oba everything he could offer. And Oba absolutely beat the bag out of him, which was amazing. So, Jay, what did you think of Oba versus Moose?
Whew, listen, man, Oba is just, you know, I was thinking about what I could, think about where he could kind of be related to. He reminds me of, like, rookie Brock Lesnar. Like, his ability to pick up so many different things in the ring, technique, camera work, balance, everything, just, like, where the Oba walk, like, all that stuff. Like, he's just an incredible athlete. The match against him and Moose, it was great. It was a nice little showcase for Moose as well. For me personally with Moose, I think maybe 6 years ago I could have saw him doing something big in NXT or WWE, but I feel like when you paired him up against Oba, Oba just looked like the bigger, like, overall star, like, altogether. I just think that, you know, it was a solid match, but I think for Oba, he's another one. He's ready. Like, put all the belts on him, you know, just, you know, call the show, you know, NX Oba, I don't know, call it something. It's, you know, he's right. Like, the dude's awesome.
I got it. NXT take Oba.
Look at that.
Ah, there it is.
WWE, hire that man.
Yeah. let's not bury the lead. Before the match, Oba got the Undertaker nod, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Bob,
what'd you think there?
That's all the proof you need that, they're high on the guy. And, cause, you know, Taker would not.
Taker's not doing that as, you know, a thing. Taker's doing that cause he said yes.
Right. Exactly. So, and that means he sees something in the kid. So, and it's good. It's good to see that. And, you know, I think sky's the limit for him. You know, obviously he's still very inexperienced. So he needs time there just to get, you know, time, but right. Yeah. And so, but I think sky's the limit for him, I think. And it's just the beginning.
There you go. All right. So next up we had, Javon Evans versus Ethan Page, and they blew off their blood feud in a spectacular fashion. Javon defeated Ethan, and Javon is like one of the most unique movers on the roster. Like, he's, I can't say enough about the way he does the flippy shit. It's so good. He just puts his own personal stink on everything, you know, their stank, if you will. Like, it's so awesome. And then Ethan is just loves being a wrestling bully. Like, if we do the old analogy of, you know, the high school wrestling locker room is a high school, like, he is the preppy bully, just absolute jerk, and he's the best at it. These guys had a ton of fun, and Javon rightfully won the feud, in my opinion. So, DJ, you're not even here. We miss you, DJ. Rob, what'd you think?
I liked it, and I think in our original recording of this episode, I likened them signing Ethan Page to when they signed LA Knight, and a lot of people were thinking, well, what'd they sign this guy for at this point in time? And
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
And
then you you're like, oh yeah, because he's a professional wrestler.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, but because when Ethan Page first showed up, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, sure. You know, and but just like LA Knight, he has shown you why they brought him in. He does, again, I guess he is a good professional wrestling heel, and he's shown stuff. Look, we really hadn't seen this stuff from him before. Like, we didn't know we really had this kind of range, but he's been a really good addition for them. And so whoever's idea was to bring him in, you know, pat him back.
It was probably Cody. Jay, what'd you think?
So yeah, these two had a great match. Really a lot of hate. You know, I love those "I hate your, I want to punch you in the face" type of matches. And this was a great match. Javon Evans reminds me so much of Jeff Hardy. He has that direct connection with the crowd, and, you know, his high flying maneuver. He jumps like literally off the screen. He has such a dope look. You could tell with his promos, they give him so much freedom and creativity to kind of be himself. Ethan is such a polished pro wrestler. The promos, the wrestling, he's going to be another guy, you know, whether it's in NXT or on the main shows, he's going to carry so many different segments. He'll probably get his own segment where he'll kind of interview other wrestlers or do his other stuff, kind of like The Miz. You know, he has such a great ability to speak. So these two have great chemistry. So I hope they have more matches going forward.
He's either done one already, or he just had a couple of promos that were just structured like a talk show. But yeah, I agree. He could do the talk show gimmick on the main roster. Like, that's your guy. Seriously. Mm-hmm. So last up, we had a title versus title match. The NXT Women's Champion Julia faced Stephanie Vaquer, the NXT North American, Women's North American Champion. Before this match, we were all predicting some sort of nonsense of, you know, somebody runs in or something happens, because there's no way they're unifying. They have not specifically said unifying, but there's no way they're double strapping somebody with this North American title already, right? 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 Well, wrong. Because Stephanie Vaquer is now the NXT Women's Champion and the NXT North American Champion in a match where they beat the ever-loving bag out of each other. Rob, what are we doing?
There were rumors that Julia's got some injuries and needs to take some time off, and that would explain why they took the belt off of her and they did this kind of match. It does seem kind of weird to me, but we got to see where it goes. Like, you know, are they doing, is this a unification, or was this just to get the belt off of Julia so she could take time off, and then maybe Stephanie will drop the North American belt and they'll put that back on somebody else? I don't know. So I think for me, a lot of it just depends on how they go about rectifying that. because it really doesn't make sense to unify them. They just started, they just, you know, came up with the North American title last year. So, and, I mean, I don't think it would make sense to unify them. And their women's roster down there is still really big. So there's enough women down there for two titles still. So just, I mean, again, just, I guess, you know, we'll wait and see.
If that is the case, this is one of the few times where I really feel like, okay, if it was an injury thing or it, like something like that, they just vacate the North American title next Tuesday. Like make it just, I'm the NXT, Stephanie's the NXT Women's Champion. North American title's vacated. Come up with that or whatever kayfabe bullshit you need to say for 30 seconds on TV to make it happen. That's one of the few times, if it's an injury thing. But we'll see, because maybe she drops one of them soon anyway and everything's fine. Jay, what did you think about the pseudo-unification or the double two-strap Stephanie?
So for me, I thought, well, first off, the match was incredible. I think both Stephanie and Julia, they brought the big fight atmosphere. To me, they're 1A, 1B, both of them. You know, if it is an injury angle, that's too bad. I don't really have a problem. Like, for me personally, I don't have a problem with the unification happening. If it's something on a rare occasion, you're not doing it all the time, I don't have a problem with it. Number one, it's history. Why not have the women, you know, have Stephanie do something that's never been done before? I understand the title is just created, but that still doesn't mean you don't create a benchmark or have something, you know, momentous happen. So I don't have a problem with Stephanie winning the title, or both titles for that matter. If you are going to have Stephanie drop either the main title or the mid card, sorry, or like blanking on the name, but I don't have a problem with it. But I do agree overall that you want to make sure that you have one of those titles freed up for, you know, the other women to have storylines. You don't want to have one person holding two for a long time, because we saw with Roman, you know, it was cool and I didn't have a problem with that as well, but it did create a logjam for other individuals that were vying for that title. So you don't want to have that same situation. So for, you know, for the photo op moment and stuff like that, or just to go back and reference, I don't have an issue with it. They had a great match. Booker T is on that one move where Booker T is. I was watching it and I'm just like, that dude's out of control. But he's, first of all, Booker T on NXT, I just got to say this. He's been incredible. He is like the best, like, addition to like NXT. And a lot of people crapped on him for it at first, but I was fully positive on it. He brings such excitement to the show. And I think that's important for your announcers to be excited. He's obviously got that experience, but that the Booker T experience, that's what he brings all together. It brings such a cool feel to the show. And I think he's contributed so much to NXT, obviously with Trick Williams and other people, but with Stephanie, it's hilarious. It's just, I love the crowd referencing him, but it was a great match.
Yeah. And just,
I'd say with Book, like, he's of the WWE roster, he's probably my least favorite commentator. Now, when I say that, I always have to tell everyone, like, yeah, he's not, I'm not saying he's the worst. I'm just saying he's of that, like, yeah, and he's terrible and he sucks and he's bad. Nope. Mm. He's just the one that I drive with the least, usually. All that said, you are 100% right, Jay. He's kind of found his lane in NXT where the cheerleader stuff he does makes sense, but he still doesn't overdo it. And he's just found little things like that where I'm like, okay, he really, you're right. He has found like a real good lane.
And let me just, I'll add, I really like him because, again, to me, it doesn't feel contrived. Like a lot of, you know, a lot of the really excited commentators, sometimes it can really, it feels like they're trying. And they're not really excited. They're just, you know, they're playing excited commentator and it feels kind of forced. And so I think that's not the case with him. And also I think like he's the guy that doesn't read the rundown before he comes out there.
I don't know. Absolutely not.
Book is 100%. And I mean this with complete sincerity, happy to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the time. And it's awesome.
Lawler was like that as well. I remember JR mentioning that he would just draw most of the time. He didn't take any notes. So when you know, obviously he was a you know, on a different lane, or he was on some other stuff. But when you got his reactions, it was a genuine, you know, reaction. So I think that kind of helps for the ex-wrestler. And you got to remember another thing with Booker, he's a trainer as well. So you're getting a lot of different perspective on certain wrestlers and their mindset. And I do like that, what he brings that to the table, especially when he's talking about certain people, what they may be thinking of, how they're approaching things in the match. It's a really cool caveat, you know, while watching NXT.
There you go. So did we have anything else to go over aside from, no, that was the main event of the evening. So
yeah, that was it
for the rest. Any more thoughts?
Well, so Jay, what's your take so far on the road to WrestleMania?
For both NXT and both Mania, I think they're shaping up well. I really love what Sean and the guys are doing down in NXT with the different storylines. It seems that Sean's embracing a lot of the old, you know, for me, the good stuff in the 90s with WWF, like certain storylines and character work. Like, he's really making sure to flesh out the character aspects for mostly everybody. You know, even if you're not that good of a wrestler or like a strong of a wrestler, you have a character that resonates with people. And I think that's important. You know, people got to remember, it's cool to be a wrestler, but you want to make sure that your characters resonate with the audience, and he's doing a good job. And then as far as, you know, the main show goes, you know, I'm all aboard with Cody. I think he's, you know, he may not be, I guess, popular with certain people, but I like him. I think he resonates with people, and, you know, he's with the nannies and kids, so he's doing that job. So he's doing a good job. The other stories, they're coming along well. Oh, Bianca, Jade, all that stuff. I'm really, you know, that segment, man, I said it on Twitter. They should have got a BET award, you know, Oscar, an Emmy, you know, crying. I love, but you know what I like about Bianca? I want to say this about Bianca real quick. You know, I don't want to sidetrack, but what I really like about Bianca is that she commits to everything she does when she goes through that curtain, from the wrestling aspect, from the selling, like, I mean, even during pinfalls, near falls, she makes you believe, like, holy crap, she didn't win. She didn't get the three count. And you could tell in the segment, she really got into that character work, and she really made you feel like she was heartbroken when Naomi let her know, like, no, Jade's, you know, she's hating on you. And Bianca really felt that and was like, how could you betray me? That's such a dope story to tell him. When you commit like that, everything else comes easy to me. You know, I think they've all done a great job. So I'm looking forward to that whole feud and storyline, how that's going to play out. So the road to WrestleMania has been really good. They've done a great job.
They going to turn her heel, Jay?
Who, Bianca?
Bianca.
No.
Thank you.
For what?
Thank you.
We had a whole thing last week about that they're not turning that woman heel. And it's exactly for the reason you just said, Jay. She commits to every single thing she does. So if we turn her heel, and if you want it to hit, I believe Rob has mentioned it before, but she will, you said it, Jay, she will stop skipping to the ring. She might cut the braid off. She'll stop wearing all the sparkly outfits. She'll stop wearing all the, like, homemade, you know, ring gear and stuff like that. Like, she will commit to the bit. And is that, like, you know, is that the monkey paw you people really want when she turns heel? Like, we're going to lose it all. It's going to be compelling television because she's going to knock it out of the park. But I don't know.
I think for Bianca right now, she's in that John Cena element as far as, like, she connects so much with the crowd and those kids and nanas. Like, why would you there's no reason to really change her. Like, I don't understand. I get it, and people wanted it to happen, but it's like, Jade's still coming along, so it's like, you gotta remember, I understand you have Rhea Ripley, but Bianca's is right there as well as far as one of your top baby faces. That's a big leap, or that's a big shift. If you want to change her, you gotta have somebody that can kind of replicate that same level of popularity. And for Jade's sake, she's not ready yet. You know, she's still coming along. I think the story with Naomi is perfect. I said it on Twitter, but I'd love to see a Hell in a Cell with those two. I think the feud warrants that. Personally.
Oh, when they have the like the third match of those two, it's gonna be Hell in a Cell. Rob, what?
So yeah, just
tell the people what Bianca's name is and okay, why she's never turning.
And I did not, this was not, I stole this from somebody on the podcast, but Jane Cena.
Okay. It's ironic, John Cena just turned heel, but she's Jane Cena, everybody.
And because look, there's like, she's a baby face, but also there aren't that many baby faces that purely connect with the kids. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's a different thing that's hard to find. And it really is. It's hard to find. It's hard to find somebody that genuinely connects with the kids and can be a kid's superhero kind of character. Mm-hmm. They're rare. When you have one, you hang on to it. And again, if you take her out of that role, yes, there are other women baby faces, but there's nobody there to do that. And I think, I equated her and Jade are like Sting and Lex Luger. Sting is the colorful one for the kids. Okay. Lex Luger was popular. Yes. But Lex Luger was not for the kids. Okay. And cause he and Jade, they're both, they don't have those big bubbly personalities and all of that stuff. Right.
I love the Lex Express, Rob. So you know, I waited in Boston for the Lex Express to stop, you know.
Well, Lex didn't live it though. That's the problem. But you know, it's because there's nobody on that roster who does what she does with the kids as far as the women. Okay, I mean, yes, Rhea Ripley's like insanely popular, but she's not like the bubbly, you know, all that type of thing. You rarely find somebody who does that and it works, because in this day and time, most of the time when you try that, people shit on it. So, or at least not, maybe not, but a lot of times when you try that with somebody, people shit on it. And so she's somebody whom they're doing it, they've done it and it works. So you stick with it. And I'm sorry for all the 35 and older fans who want everything to be, you know, complicated and shades of gray and we don't need faces and heels anymore. You know, stop. Yes, you do. Look, the best wrestling story is good versus evil. Okay. That hasn't changed. It hasn't.
Hello, right. The main event of WrestleMania 40.
Right. Exactly. That was good versus evil on a grand scale. Okay. And that's one of the reasons why it worked.
We know. We were all there, Robin. Evil won. It was great.
Yeah, say
sad day. Sad day. But no, but still, seriously though, I mean, those are the best stories.
They good are.
Versus evil, and you gotta have somebody who's good at being great. I mean, and somebody who's good at being good. And it's hard to play in professional wrestling a pure baby face and play it well and for people to actually like it. And so when you have somebody who does that, you don't just flip them on a whim to, you know, for the message board people, you know, or the heavy breather, as you call them.
And this is the first time for Bianca that she's had a storyline like this. I mean, mostly it's just like a one-on-one, you know, she's going up against someone that, you know, either wants to take her title or, you know, they're having a feud. She had such a bond with those three, you know, with Naomi and Jade. And to have Naomi feel like the third wheel and then in turn feel jealous of Jade, and Bianca's kind of torn between the two, you know, jealousy. I mean, that's a cool dynamic for this particular story. So to have Bianca feel so conflicted, she has a new friend in Jade, but then she has her, you know, her bestie in Naomi. She doesn't know what to really do. I mean, obviously she's like, I got a bigger fish to fry. I got to worry about Rhea. Having all that kind of play out in her head and trying to figure out what to do or how to navigate, that's a dope storyline. I think that's dope for everybody. So, and for Naomi, that gives her a chance to kind of really, really kind of, you know, go into this and let out some frustration. And there's some reality to certain of the stuff she was saying. She probably did feel underappreciated. I mean, when she returned, I think a lot of people had high hopes that she would at least get a title, and to see her kind of continue to climb and kind of fall back down that mountain a little bit and try to climb again. You know, she's letting it all out. And I think for a heel, that's cool. That's great ammunition to kind of fuel that fire and just let her kind of go out on promos and express that.
And I think it's awesome that it is well beyond, and they're knocking it out of the park, but it's well beyond three women being like in a feud because they're catty women. This is like three women, three alpha females are just like, this was going to explode at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And it not being
alpha athletes, I should say.
Yeah. And like it not being the typical, like so many women's storylines, like you said, it's catty stuff. It's mean girl.
Yeah.
Type of dialogue and all of that, you know. And so to see them, this is different, and it's a, you know, and that's, I mean, it's good to see that happening here. And also good for Naomi, like she's not anybody's henchwoman or stooge or anything here.
No, she's not a tag along. She's not a partner. She's the third wheel of this, you know, three-way story.
But she is the bad guy. She's not, you know, again, right. she's not the henchwoman. You know, she's not working for somebody else or something. And I think that's what a lot of people wanted to just for her to, you know, to get the chance to do something for her. You know.
That's awesome, man. I'm digging the hell out of that story. So what else did we have?
Well, so now we've gone for about an hour here. So we had talked about, since we'd all seen Captain America.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Jay?
So I watched it recently. I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a good continuation of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show. Yeah. There were a lot of cool surprises. Anthony Mackie, he's funny to me. Like a lot of people, you know, they meme him on Twitter. He looks like he knows the biggest secret, or he's chewing on church candy. I don't know. But,
he has a bird in his mouth.
Yeah,
that's what it is. He has a pet bird in his mouth. It's pen pals with the frog that lives in Tom Hiddleston's mouth. Cause he also has this kind of same problem. What are you hiding there?
I grew up in the church, so I know that, like, that trying not to laugh during church, that's that look. I know exactly what that
look is. They're two of the most serious individuals on the planet.
But I thought the movie was great. Harrison Ford, man, he's such a great, like, playing the angry dad. Like, he doesn't care anymore. Like, but he was so cool as General Ross. Like, he brought such a, he continued on. I know the other actor passed away, unfortunately, but he did such a great job playing that role. I liked the conflict between him and the Falcon. It was really cool. Thought the special effects were all great. As a spy thriller in action, I thought it reminded me of the Winter Soldier. I had a really good time.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, like, in terms of the, like, conspiracy, like, weird story telling, like, it was a military thriller. It was a, much like the Winter Soldier and, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was. I thought some of the stuff, look, man, we've been following along for 15,000 movies. You don't have to beat us over the head with, like, the exposition dialogue with President Ross turning to someone and being like, have you heard from my estranged daughter, Betty? Like, Betty Ross, the girlfriend of the Hulk? Like, okay, guys, we can find a better way to tell that story. But other highlights were Anthony's suit was fucking incredible. I love the vibranium wings now have the force feedback option, which was really fun. And it was awesome to see my guy, Bucky. Fun cameo. He's running for Congress, and now apparently next he's going to be in Thunderbolts, so I don't think his congressional campaign goes well, but we'll see. And Harrison Ford knocked it out of the park because he's the greatest of all time to ever do it, and ever be in motion pictures. So there you go.
I mean, I really like the dynamic between, you know, Sam and Joaquin. You know, and that was straight from the comic books. And both of their suits were straight out of the comic book. And the dynamic between Sam and Isaiah was,
yes.
Yeah. And Isaiah Bradley is such a great character in all of these things. And Carl Lumley, the guy who plays him, just does a great job. And so for me, yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. And look, they've become like a lot of my, I mean, Sam Wilson's become one of my favorite MCU characters out of everybody who's left. And cause, so for me, yes, I just really enjoyed it. And yeah, it looks like he's definitely going to be in some kind of way putting the Avengers back together. And it'll be a nice dynamic, with him out in front. And I thought it was, I've already seen it once. I might catch it again before it leaves the theater. But yeah, it was a really good time. And Falcon and Winter Soldiers might be my, that and Hawkeye are my two favorite out of all the Disney Plus series. Because out of all the original, Hawkeye and Black Widow were my favorite out of the original Avengers characters, the first six that were on the team. And then since then, like I said, Sam and Bucky have become two of my favorites. And so to me, it was just fun to see all of them again. And I really had a good time.
Excellent. I enjoyed the fact that the Celestial has been in the ocean for like apparently 10 movies.
Yeah.
And just now getting around to it. Like, hey, we should probably go see what that thing's about.
Yeah. And there's what the adamantium is in there. That's where they're getting adamantium from. So, which means we'll be seeing, some kind of way we'll see the X-Men soon and Wolverine and all that soon.
Let's theorize here. This is the first adamantium that's on Earth, right? Let's just pretend.
Supposedly.
Yeah. So that means that if they're going to tell some sort of Logan or Wolverine story, they're going to tell it in quote unquote real time. Like Wolverine is going to get his adamantium skeleton for the first time after the snap has taken place and been resolved. Which is fascinating to me, and I think that's a really cool way if you're going to introduce the X-Men and they all of a sudden just introduce mutation somehow.
Yep.
That would be a fun way to do it. Be like, yeah, we're telling this story in real time. Like, while we're releasing Captain America 6, we're releasing the MCU equivalent of Marvel, of X-Men First Class.
Yeah, and I think it's real easy. You can just say that either the snap or the blip is what caused the mutation in people,
So that's the one thing that kind of bothers me, because inherent to the mutant story is that, mutants and their, and their trials and tribulations in society are an allegory for something else in society. And I think that fundamentally changes when it's not something you're born with, and it's something that you were affected by a world event. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess you could have it be that. Well, yeah, that's the only thing. You're right. So it's that would be the only thing.
Disney might not care. Like, and they should just be like, hey, you know what? And we are going to tell, like, because it's still, whatever, it's still a certain group of people who, didn't ask for anything, blah, blah, blah. You didn't choose this, it just all of a sudden the cosmic radiation hits the planet and certain people get it and certain people don't, but whatever. So it's not, maybe I am splitting hairs, but I wouldn't be shocked if they did do something like that and then just bulldoze their way through it.
Yeah, because, the biggest thing is we just want to see them there. I mean.
Yeah.
Right. Tell the story the same with, the Sentinels are hunting them down and, chasing their energy signatures and all that stuff. So, sorry, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't think, we don't need, 8 movies of exposition about, all of that. We really need to just get them in there and go. And now we got Fantastic Four up next, and that looks like that's going to be a lot of fun, and it looks like they're doing something unique there with that.
yeah, that's clearly on like a different Earth, and you know, it's gonna be. I'd watch Pedro Pascal mime. You know, that guy's incredible. So the fact that by the way they didn't really make him look like Reed at all. They didn't give him a short haircut or anything like that. They just were like, yeah, it's Pedro Pascal. He has the mustache, right?
He's got that Henry Cavill contract with his mustache, probably. You know, his mustache has those claws.
His mustache gets its own contract, I bet.
He looks great, and then the uniforms look great in the Fantastic Four. I love that light blue, like, you know, obviously it's the classic look. They all look, the thing looks incredible. You know, they got the guy from The Bear who, I don't know if you guys ever watched the show, but he's hilarious on The Bear. They picked the perfect character to play the thing. So yeah, but I wonder if they're gonna hint at the X-Men at the end of the Fantastic Four. Maybe like maybe they'll show Professor X or somebody. I don't know, because I mean it's, you know, but like you said, they could have the current day, you know, after the snap, you know, that way you don't run into any like, you know, different storyline. You know, you'll have the guy on Reddit that's like, well, actually that doesn't make sense, you know, because blah blah blah. So I don't know, but maybe.
If you ever put the timeline toothpaste back in the tube, that's one thing. But, I mean, at this point, the X-Men already exist, you know, because we've already seen Professor X. You know, Patrick Stewart was Professor X in First Class. Deadpool is in the MCU somewhere. So everything that happened in Deadpool happened. So it's really more about how you introduce. So, because they could have, you know, Cyclops from a different universe show up tomorrow. It's more about how are you introducing your main X-Men team, and you're like, that's going to be on quote unquote our Earth. So.
Or they could go with the original X-Men before, you know, the ones we know of in the 90s, you know, where you had Angel, that was a part of the group, Cyclops, and, you know, go for a different, you know, people would they'll complain, but whatever, you know, you can. You could, because the Wolverine thing, I think people are gonna have a tough time accepting it. I mean, for me, obviously, I don't care. I mean, it's a movie, so whoever they get is perfect. But I want to say for Cyclops, they need to get the cat from Maverick that played. He was in Twisters. I think he'd be the perfect Cyclops. He has the. What's that?
Glenn Powell.
Yeah, I think he'd be good as Cyclops.
He's the chosen one. He is the blockbuster chosen one. He's the heir apparent to Tom Cruise. He's just going to be a blockbuster after blockbuster, and you're right. He should check the superhero
box. Tom Cruise is going to hand off his mountain climbing rappel stuff. You know, you continue on the journey of doing all your own stunts, like a, or maybe they'll get Tom Cruise for this movie. Who knows? He might want to do. You know, he's game for anything. So he could play Wolverine. He's short enough.
Hey, Tom Cruise is Wolverine. Sign me up immediately. Crazy Tom is Wolverine. Yep, I'm there day one midnight show.
He'll probably method act and hide in the woods and find an actual Wolverine and study the techniques and stuff like that.
He'll become like a Canadian wild man for like three months. Yeah, you know, I just lived in the Canadian wilderness, so it was crazy. I was just like, dude, that he's the best. Anybody else got anything on the X-Men possibly coming into, or if we lost the plot on?
I got a bit distracted because of Charlotte and Tiffany are finally having like the big brawl here.
Oh, jeez. He's watching a pre-recorded SmackDown on a pre-recorded show.
Listen, man, when Charlotte's on the TV, you got to stop everything, you know? Everything stops in the world for Charlotte, so I understand.
Week in a row, by the way, that I forgot SmackDown is 3 hours.
Rob, do you agree with me regarding Tiff, though? Like, she needs to, like, bring it up. You know, I feel like it's Charlotte's kind of, I'm not saying she's waiting, but it's like, I feel like Tiffany's got to bring some energy. I don't know. She's too scared. I don't know.
Because I think she's got to figure out how to like talk like a baby face and play a baby face character. I think, cause I think that's what's kind of missing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all of like, basically, she was a heel the whole time in NXT. That's what she learned how to be. All of her, you know, demeanor and mannerisms and speaking style are all heel kind of stuff. But, you know, people started cheering for too much last year. So you can't, you know, you gotta switch that up.
Yeah.
If people are just not going to boo, then you got to switch that up. Right. And so they have to, but yeah, I just don't think right now her playing a convincing babyface character, you know, that's where she's got to make up some ground here. And you know, and so they've been having her get beat up the past month, you know, trying to get some sympathy on her, you know, first from Nia Jackson, you know, Candace, and then last week Charlotte got to her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just, I think just if she's going to be a babyface long term, then she's got to, yeah, the promo stuff and the character work. She's going to have to, you know,
well,
that's
I will say, I mean, she just prettiest moonsaulted ever a Charlotte to the outside. So that was awesome.
The ring work is fine, but it's just, if she's gonna play babyface character long term, they gotta figure out what that is for her. And she's gotta, you know, get that down. What exactly that's gonna be, because, you know, is she gonna be sympathetic? Is she gonna be, you know, they're gonna try to make her another version of what Bianca's doing? You know, what's it gonna be? You know, they got to figure that out, and she's got to get the speaking part down.
Yeah.
You know, cause, yeah, you know, there was about a month ago that she did, you know, I think like her first kind of babyface promo, and a lot of people were shitting on it.
You brought up Bianca, not to cut you off, but that's the match I want them to finally get across to doing, Bianca and Charlotte. I think I want to see that, Brock and Rock did a sports build back at SummerSlam 02. I want to see, I think I mentioned it before in the Discord when I was with you guys, that I want to see that same type of build. I think they both have the athletic background, and you could really put together really cool video packages for both Bianca and Charlotte. So I do want to see those two mix it up in the ring, because I feel like, you know, it's the most obvious thing. Obviously, you got Bianca with the Jade stuff and now with Rhea, but I feel like Charlotte and Bianca, it's like they're two ships that constantly, like, they're just like going around each other, and I feel like they need to make that happen. That's a money match, and whether it be SummerSlam, they need to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, that's either a SummerSlam or WrestleMania match. It should be. And it does kind of feel like they always got, you know, the booking people always got something else for them to do.
Yeah.
And, they need to do it. And it needs to be one of their bigger shows. It absolutely should be.
Yep. Evolution. There you go. You want to bring back Evolution? Boom. There's the main event program right there. Charlotte Bianca for the title. Look at me. I need to get hired by WWE.
Well, Jay, it doesn't need to be for the title, because neither one of them needs a title anymore.
Oh, my God. That's the other thing I heard, Rob. Well, this is my favorite. Well, Charlotte can't do anything without the belt. Like, well, what's her character? Her character is that she wants to be champion. She's the best. Like, Ric Flair had the same character. Like, I don't understand. Like, people, they make it difficult with certain characters that they don't like, instead of just, you know, admitting they don't like the character. And I feel like people need to do that more and be honest. Like, if you don't like somebody, just say it, but don't say a bunch of crap like, oh, I don't understand what her purpose is on the show if she doesn't have the title. That's her whole point. Triple H wanted the belt. Shawn Michaels, you know, wanted the title as well. Everybody, if you're a high level wrestler like that, or if you make that your part of your characteristic that you want to be champion, I don't understand why that's so hard for people to accept.
Well, it's like, because it, you know, in kayfabe, pro wrestling is a sport,
right?
So the best in real sports, the best players are always, they're always in the tournament final,
right?
Serena Williams was always in the final at the Grand Slam, whether she won or she didn't. She was always in the final.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tiger Woods was always in the top, the top threesome or whatever on Sunday when he was in his peak. I mean, and even recently, he, like a year ago, he said, his, you know, when they asked him about doing more of the, majors, he was like, look, I'm not going to do it if I can't compete.
Right.
Like, I'm not coming out there just to be there.
Patriots were always in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, cause like imagine, yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Man. Great times. Match, man. Great times, Jedi.
So, I mean, imagine if after the fourth Super Bowl, like Brady and Belichick said, just said, you know, well, we got four. We'll let somebody, we'll let other people have some. We got enough. That doesn't happen.
That's crazy.
You know, Michael Jordan didn't say, you know, four rings. Okay. You know.
No, I'm saying.
Well, he did retire to face the, to team up with Bugs Bunny, you know. He had to, you know, he got to handle some stuff in the Warner Brothers territory and also scout NBA talent. You ever hear that story about Jordan building?
And also serving a gambling suspension. Oh, hey.
No. But, I mean, you know, it's like people who win championships want to keep winning championships. That's right. What they're there for. And, it's because one, she's taking opportunities away from other people. And by she, they don't even mean Charlotte, the character. They're talking about Ashley Fleer. And she's taking away stuff from other people by being there. But anyway, you know, it's just, yeah, but I can go on all day about that. But
if you have Charlotte healthy and ready to go, you have to put her in the main event. It's that simple. It's not difficult. Or at least you put her in a program that's higher in a higher caliber. She's not a low level talent. I don't understand why this is so difficult for people to understand. You don't bring Charlotte back and have her work in the opening match with Chelsea Green. She's gonna be in your top programs.
She needs it for the next 5 years, however long she's gonna keep working, she needs to just put people over now. That's what she needs to do. She's just be putting people over now.
Oh my gosh.
Anything else we got to talk about?
Let's get out of here because we're at an hour and a half almost, and we're rambling now. So. Yeah. But Jay, my man, thank you for coming on.
No problem, man. Thank you guys. Also the shout out for my dad a couple weeks back on the podcast. I really appreciate that. He was the one that kind of brought all this positiveness to wrestling for me. He's the one that kind of shaped all this. You know, me and my dad watching wrestling over the years. After my whole, you know, I put on Twitter that, you know, I'd go to church, but the caveat with that is, Dad, can I order in your house, whatever, 1995? All right. And I had to go to church and wait for those deacon meetings to finish and go home and watch it with him. But just to watch the way he would watch wrestling, he would smile. He would always be laughing. Like he always found it funny that Owen Hart always kicked out. That was like his big thing. Like Owen Hart's always kicking out of him. Out of a finisher, like, or not a finisher, but during the match. But just watching his joy, that's how I kind of kept it going with me. And once I joined Twitter and I noticed all this, you know, negativity, and I would talk with people like over the years, even before Twitter, about wrestling. And I'm like, why are you so negative while you're watching this? Like, you're supposed to have fun with this. Like, it's not supposed to be something you take seriously. Or I would listen to different podcasts, before you guys, and I'd be like, why y'all breathing so heavy about this? Like, go touch a wall. I don't know. Go do something. So. It's something you should enjoy. It should be like a roller coaster, but overall you should find enjoyment in it.
I agree. And look, sometimes now, because, you know, I'm Mr. Numbers guy and all, sometimes I fall into the trap of analyzing too much and just not just watching it now. But even then, I mean, I enjoy analyzing. I don't, you know, I'm not like pouting or whatever, but. Yeah, but man, you're right, and this is why we love talking to you, man, because you really do embody the spirit of what this is supposed to be about, man.
Mothers and kids, man, that's who it's about.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you can just get Kong away from the OTB place this weekend, okay?
Can we talk about this real quick? I know we gotta go, but you know, I know the listening audience can't see, but I have a beautiful picture of King Kong delivering a brutal shot to Zilla. With the tree, because, you know, me and my dad used to watch this movie all the time as well, Godzilla versus King Kong. He would always laugh at this part because he knew that Zilla ain't shit. Like, he's a bum. Right, Rob?
Look, you know, I mean, you know, Kong, you know, like every 10 years, he's got to go back to the same gimmick, jumping off Empire State Building, you know. Like, it's like Evel Knievel with the bike over the fountain, right? Every 10 years or so, he's got to go back to that. And I mean, and the poor guy, you know, he's, again, it's March Madness. He's going
to. He's a blonde lady.
He's a what?
He's kidnapping some innocent blonde lady.
He's going to. I mean,
you know what's funny about Zilla? His best moments in movies is sleeping in historical sites. That man was sleeping in a damn Colosseum while King Kong had a massive toothache and a messed up arm, apparently, trying to become a stepdad to Step Kong and, you know, helping him along the way and trying to find his real dad. But, you know, his dad was, you know, like Zilla, he left, you know, and went out for eggs and milk and didn't come back, apparently. So, you know, you watch those two movies, folks, yeah, and you realize that King Kong is the babyface. You know, he is a good guy.
We got Step Kong asking drunk Uncle Kong, do you know who my daddy is? Yeah, we know damn well who your daddy is. And he's not fessing up. But hey. Well, Jesus.
So make sure, look, this is Kong's time of the year. You know, you got all these basketball tournament matches and, you know, again, you know, there's parlays and prop bets and, you know, all type of stuff going on here.
Oh, Lord. Bless that man. Lay hands on Rob and just, you know, bless him for he does not know what he says right now.
One last thing before we get out of here. You were asking for things to get crazy with Tiffany and Charlotte. Well, everybody watched SmackDown. They did. Cool.
Good.
Yeah.
So, Rob, it's been a great time. You know, we didn't invite the people to go over to ProWrestlingTees.com. They should, because what they can do there, they can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, where you can find all of the wonderful offerings of the merchants of the ChairShot Radio Network, from podcast to sportscast to this cast to that cast. We've got every show under the sun, mostly about wrestling, though. And you can find all of your podcast merchandise, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. You can wear us on your bodies. You can get us in thermal style. You can get us in soft style. Whatever the way your body wants, wear it. Wear us. We love you for it. And while you're there, buy some wonderful stuff from my friend Donovan Dijak. I got nothing else. Rob?
We're done. And as always, you can call it pro wrestling or you can call it sports entertainment, but call it the ring. And we're out of here. Talk to you guys next week.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.